Listen on ye, draw love and cheers on ye, drew bojo. Chidan so ye, janam la, janju badu da ni jazu ji, da gi chin ye ji besen on ye, draw love and cheers on ye, drew bojo.
Namo lai kedan luda nijin ke jaban dadan nai kedan dan roa kunj dana jadan ba danje kedo da ke chudan do o danga tu langzhen wa ru ru chindir la langzhen ke tuan da ta jibu sung ke langzhen rin ba jibu chung ke langzhen rin ba jibu ting ting jibu chenbi langzhen rin ba tu o tu sun go riz marba ta jibu chung se ken te Jebu chungu sige dana kasu Jebu chungu sanglu dile Ani ngay sungu dungen di gabu maris Ngay sungu dungen li jishe chani ngay chungu samba jine Ani ngay lhatan meyi kubung tu na yabundu Ani ngay lhatan meyi kubung tu ba xiao nyabi Sanglu yu kendili jebu chungu res Ku lhatan meyi kubung tu ya tashi gari jie goresi na Kunjo sun la, jiao sun zhuyu gu ne, lian zhe sun gu waris, ma gu jubun gu sui ting dang, di ba xia ya. Wa tani jie ba yi na, jie wa xia ma la dang ma li jie gu waris, tang bu diris, ma ri ba.
Tam xie la, di gre,
wa jie zhu zhu, ku zi sabat dung duwa. Tani lu su lo xian na ya xui.
So we've been going over the text, the lamp for the path to enlightenment by the great master Atisha. And this text truly encompasses the three scopes or the beings of three capacities. So the essence of this text is the meaning of the beings of three capacities, those beings of small capacity, those beings of medium capacity or middling capacity, and those beings of great capacity. So when we look at the those beings of small capacity, this is a practitioner who has renunciation or a desire to definitely get out of the lower realms and wishes to achieve a rebirth into the higher realms of the gods and humans and so forth. So a being whose thinking is like that, or a being whose motivation is to be liberated from the lower realms only, or to renounces the lower realms, those beings who have this type of aspiration or desire are called beings of small capacity. So what is the method for this type of practitioner to achieve his or her aim? The method is to have a very stable foundation in refuge, an understanding of the law of cause and effect, or karma and its effects, a foundation of practice in ethical behavior, and acknowledgement of downfalls or confession of misdeeds, which leads to purification. So all of these things are necessary for the practitioner to adhere to or to understand and rely on in order for him or her to achieve the goal of freedom from the lower realms.
ngasul tha ne la da mal che ba ina ya la da mal ya ji du nge ga yi du nge du nge ji du nge ju yi du nge cha ban du yi ji du nge yo res wo te ge ane du nge pu tu gu mu do du nge ma bu ba ngasul tha ne ya ko te du wa yo ma res ta du nge pu ne tha ba tu na nya be sa la tha ba zang tu na nya be sa lo yo ge de ji bun de yi te me ba su wo res te me ba ko tha ba tu a ge tha ji kar ji wo sa na Tene kuwa le ngaban jo ne chu jing tang, tunyi tubi shirao tang, san ten gungpa la tene, ane taba lundruya ka tashi chikante, jibun jing teme basu kores.
So the next level, which is a little bit higher level as far as the motivation or thinking goes, is the medium capacity practitioner, or a being of medium capacity. And this type of being recognizes the downfalls of all of the six realms of cyclic existence, recognizes as the small capacity practitioner the downfalls of the lower realms, but also recognizes that even in the higher realms of the gods and the humans, these types of beings have to endure various types of suffering. They have to endure the suffering of birth, the suffering of aging, the suffering of sickness, the suffering of death, the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, and the pervasive compounded suffering. So the medium capacity, the being of medium capacity, recognizes these types of suffering and then recognizes that there hasn't been an abandonment of the causal factors for these sufferings, so this is the reason that they are produced. So then he or she renounces cyclic existence altogether, or has a desire to definitely get out of cyclic existence altogether, which are the six realms. So then he or she wishes to be liberated from samsara, or liberated from the six realms. So a being whose motivation is to reach nirvana and have freedom from the six realms of cyclic existence is called a being of medium capacity. So what is the method for a practitioner like this to achieve his or her aim? The method is to renounce cyclic existence, or to achieve the realization of the desire to definitely get out of cyclic existence, to have a foundation in ethical behavior, to rely upon the concentrations, and to have the wisdom realizing emptiness. And if this practitioner has all of these realizations and foundations, then he or she is able to achieve the goal of liberation for him or herself alone from cyclic existence. And this medium capacity, being of medium capacity, is synonymous with a lesser vehicle practitioner. So when we hear Hinayana or lesser vehicle, this is synonymous with or the same as the medium scope or a being of medium capacity.
That jibundin the ge chudin jilaba shira jilaba tinga jinga laba sun nyalen je waris ko garjin nyalen shira jilaba garjin nyalen je waris na tonyi tu bi shira ge doshu chuna deba duban jibin denzin dres denzin ge jose bala ten nyomo je lesa ne kol ku du waris ton deme tu bi shira de ba ina denzin ndu gres denzil no zona ti jabu nyomul ne le da dungen ne gale gale to ka bi thaban ro ya yungu waris te yo ala tuni du shara jambe yungu mar ku robo chuding go gore tuni la me bi tingen zi tem go gore te sun tu zona de ne dungen a juna jeba de pon tu gore ka tu gore.
So the medium being of medium capacity relies heavily on the three higher trainings: the higher training of ethics, the higher training of concentration, and the higher training of wisdom. What is the higher training of wisdom? It's a recognition that the grasping at true existence, or grasping at true establishment of phenomenon, is what causes, this misconception is what causes the afflictions and the actions or karma, which then produces predispositions which produce suffering. So the being of medium capacity desires or wishes to have the wisdom realizing emptiness, because this acts as an antidote to the grasping at true existence, which creates all of the different types of suffering that he or she does not wish to have to endure in all six realms of cyclic existence. But the wisdom realizing emptiness alone is not enough. It must have its concomitants. It must have also the foundation of the higher training in ethics and the higher training in concentration. So it's necessary to have both of these other trainings in order for one to produce the wisdom realizing emptiness. So it's necessary to have the concentration, higher training and concentration, to produce the wisdom realizing emptiness. And it's necessary to have the higher training in ethics in order to produce the concentration and the wisdom realizing emptiness. So we can see that these three higher trainings for a being of medium capacity are indispensable on the path to nirvana.
But now, magic shin joba ina, chuncha jugures, trendamata, triabuj gugures, or the chuncha de abuyoba in a pumba good tambaj men jetumaris. Pumba the chuncha abuyona, zubutam jetumus, zubutambaje, mova de tambaje, naive abuyoba ina, shin jetumus, chutinji luetemba, tuni lamini tingans the tambu gugures, mova. Then the chuncha abuyona,
Less so. Very similar to a man or woman cutting down a tree. If he or she wishes to cut down a tree, it's not only necessary to have a very sharp axe or a sharp cutting device, it's also necessary to have an arm that will do the cutting, that will allow the axe to cut. And it's necessary to have a very stable body that will support this process in order for the actual tree to be cut. So it's necessary to have a stable body, and it's necessary to have an arm that will do the proper work, and it's necessary to have a cutting device that will cut the tree. If one has all of these three things together, then he or she is able to cut down a tree. Likewise, if one has the foundations of ethics, concentration, and wisdom, then one can achieve liberation from cyclic existence. So the very stable body is compared to the higher training in ethics, because it's necessary to have a stable foundation in ethics. The higher training in concentration is compared to the arm that one uses to cut down the tree. And the higher training in wisdom is very similar to the cutting device or the axe that one uses to cut down the tree. So if one has these three higher trainings, then the root of cyclic existence can be cut just like the tree can be cut.
Tiba chimbi lan yaws like the sukung maza gurus. Tumu in large rimba. Chibu chung in yasulaya dang, ding in yasulaya, gunga yasulan gurus. Tejago tule, Chibu chambers of the and the Sijan Tanji Santang gurus. Susu dovan doba naji, Sijan Tanji dovan do gurus. Susu dungam and doba naji, Sijan Tanji dungan do woman. Sijan Tanji and the Dualum guata, dungam members who go in Yabisalo. Mm-hmm.
So it's not to say, though, that a being of great capacity does not utilize the small scope or the medium scope. This is why another name for these is the teaching shared in common with beings of a small capacity and teaching shared in common with beings of a medium capacity. It is called this because the great capacity, the being of great capacity, must have a foundation of these two earlier scopes in order for he or she to achieve the final goal of Buddhahood. The reason for this being called, for this being called, I guess it's grammatically correct. The reason for this being called being of great capacity is because of the scope of the thinking. He or she recognizes that like his or herself, all sentient beings wish to have happiness. Like him or herself, all sentient beings wish to be free from suffering. And then the great being of great capacity takes it further and wishes to free all sentient beings from all their states of suffering and wishes to bring them to a state of happiness. So it's because he or she's objects of observation are so great because they rely upon all sentient beings that they are called beings of great capacity or the great scope. And they must practice the two earlier scopes, and that is why they are called teaching shared in common with beings of small capacity and teaching shared in common with beings of middling or medium capacity.
So
What is necessary to produce to, for a being of great capacity? It's necessary to produce the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or Mahayana mind generation, great vehicle mind generation. It's necessary to produce this mind generation in order to be a great skill practitioner. So he or she recognizes that without becoming a complete, fully enlightened Buddha, that it's not possible to look out for the welfare of all sentient beings. It's not possible to fulfill all of the aims and goals and desires of all sentient beings because of the restrictions or the restrictions that a sentient being has. So he or she recognizes that a Buddha truly has the ability to care for the needs of all sentient beings and to look out for the welfare of all sentient beings, and can engage in welfare for all sentient beings. So then he or she wishes to become a Buddha for that reason. And this wish is what is called bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment. It's the wish to become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings, to free them from suffering. And this, the reason for becoming a Buddha is because of the recognition of the Buddha's omniscience, and clear abilities to look out for the welfare of all sentient beings and to truly aid and benefit them in the highest capacity. So we have this human basis, and the human basis has so many abilities and powers. And we have this mind which can think about things, such as the mind that aspires to enlightenment. But we have to utilize, we have to think about these things in order for them to be generated. They will not automatically be generated without analysis. So it's necessary to point the mind towards the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or point the mind towards the direction of these realizations in order for them to be invoked, or in order for them to be realized. By relying upon this human mind, or because of this human mind, we can go to school, we can study, we can learn things, we can do scientific investigation, we can understand the sciences, and it's because of this mind. So if we can understand these things, it would follow that we could also understand topics such as the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or to convert this mind into the mind that aspires to enlightenment. Or as in
Sanskrit, bodhicitta.
So, in order to achieve this realization of the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or in order to invoke bodhicitta, there are two causal factors, or two causal paths, passed down through two different lineages. One lineage is called the extensive deeds lineage. And that was passed down from the great master Maitreya to Asanga. And that lineage taught the seven-point cause and effect for achieving bodhicitta. So that included six steps, or six causes and one effect. So that particular lineage of instruction is as follows, recognizing All sentient beings are our mothers, remembering their kindness, wishing to repay their kindness, love through the force of attraction, great compassion, the extraordinary attitude, and then these causal factors produce the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or bodhicitta. So this was one lineage of instruction passed down from Lord Maitreya in the extensive deeds lineage. The second lineage is called the profound view lineage, and that was passed down from the great master Manjushri down to Nagarjuna and Chandrakirti and Shantideva and so forth. And that lineage was called equalizing and exchanging self with others. And the main focal point of that instruction was the recognition of the downfalls of the self-cherishing attitude and the extraordinary qualities or the great qualities of the attitude which cherishes others. So the equalizing and exchanging self with others practice, at the core of it is a recognition of the downfalls of self-cherishing and the benefits of cherishing others. So there are two types of bodhicitta, or bodhicitta can be enumerated by two. And translators note in other ways, but this is the enumeration of two. And there is aspiring bodhicitta and engaged bodhicitta. And the difference between these two things are that aspiring bodhicitta is the bodhicitta that lacks the bodhisattva vow. Engaged bodhicitta is bodhicitta that is coupled with a bodhisattva vow. So this is the difference between aspiring bodhicitta and engaged bodhicitta. So once the mind that aspires to enlightenment has been invoked or realized, or once one has aspirational bodhicitta, then one must figure out how to stabilize that bodhicitta, or mind that aspires to enlightenment, and increase it so that it is not lost, or create the type of bodhicitta that is unable to be lost. So the practices that allow a practitioner to stabilize and increase this bodhicitta is to invoke the merit field and then make various offerings to this merit field and then do the seven-limb prayer and take refuge and then think again and again about the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or think again and again about bodhicitta. So this is the instruction on how to stabilize and increase the mind that aspires to enlightenment in the aspirational form, so aspirational bodhicitta.
Tātane shāngchū sēnbī dōngbā, shāngchū sēnbī dōngbā, ane shāngchū sēnjū līcē tātū līcēne shāngchū sēnbī dōngbā tē lēnbā yīne shirāk bhēnyā chibhūrēs, shāngchū sēnbī dōngbā kārsukurē. Shāngchū sēnbā kītēne shīndū nyāsū lēyā gṅdōbā lēdū lē, ane shāngchū sēnbī dōngbā lēngūrēs, sīs bhūrbāshī. Tēne kārsukurē, jē bācē nā bhāshīn chō, dīn jē nā bhāshīn chō, dū nā tsūtīn sōng.
So So when one speaks of the perfections or perfection vehicle, it can be enumerated as the six perfections. It can be a new. Here, let me start from the beginning. The reason for taking the bodhisattva, once bodhicitta has arisen in the continuum of a practitioner, once one has the arisal of aspirational bodhicitta in his or her continuum, then he or she wishes to take the bodhisattva vow so that he or she can then engage in the practice of the six perfections. The perfections can also be enumerated by 10, and then there are also, one can find numbers of 3, are the three ethics, they're also called. The ethics of restraint from downfalls, the ethics of engaging in the welfare of all sentient beings, and the ethics of gathering virtue. So there are also ways to enumerate it by 3 types of ethics, and this will be explained. So, vows are very similar to law. If one has law in a country or you know a particular place, then it's possible for it to prosper. It's possible for that country to be prosperous. It's possible to build schools and to build highways and to build hospitals and to build all of the necessary things that a country needs in order to prosper. So this is all a direct result of having law and so forth. So if a practitioner has these vows and keeps a very stable foundation of these various types of ethics, ethics of restraint and the ethics of engaging in the welfare of others and the ethics of virtue, then one can progress on the great vehicle path or the Mahayana path very quickly. So if one has this ethical foundation that is very similar to law, then one can prosper. So the reason this comparison is made is that, in short, if a country has laws that are followed and police that will police that will enforce these laws, then the country can prosper. If one has vows and ethics, then one's practice can prosper, and one's ability to traverse the Mahayana path will become easier and quicker as a result of the ethical foundation. In the great master Nagarjuna's letter to a friend, there is a quote that states that the foundation of all excellence is ethics, or ethical behavior is the foundation of all excellence. I believe that's the literal. Ethical behavior is the foundation of all ethics. So the meaning of this is very similar to a field. If one has a very stable field and has a fertile field that is even and so forth, then it's quite easy to produce fruits and vegetables and sprouts and so forth out of that field. Likewise, if one has a very stable foundation in ethics, it's possible to produce the latter realizations and to progress, traverse the various Mahayana paths, the path of accumulation, the path of preparation, the path of seeing, the path of meditation, and the path of no more learning, be able to increase one's love and compassion. All of these paths are benefited by a foundation in ethical behavior. So it's necessary to have this foundation from the onstart, the beginning, in order to traverse all of the paths. And then the perfection of generosity will come out very well. The perfection of ethics, the perfection of patience, perfection of effort, concentration, wisdom, etc., will be enhanced by this foundation. So knowing this, it's very good if one can take the Bodhisattva vow. So there are two ways one can receive the Bodhisattva vow. One can receive the Bodhisattva vow with the assistance of a Lama, and giving a vow and a vow ceremony. Or one can do it alone by invoking the merit field and so forth. So there are two ceremonial processes for achieving the Bodhi, or for taking the Bodhisattva vow. So there are the advices for the bodhicitta, or for the bodhisattva vow. So there are various advices that are given, and they're broken down into four different kinds of categories. The advices relative to the ethics of restraint of downfalls, advices relative to engaging in the welfare of all sentient beings, advices relative to gathering virtue, and then the fourth is a combination of all three. Somehow all three are combined. So that's the fourth section. So the first three sections are separate, and then the fourth section is a combination of the first three. Okay? And there are advices on ethics. So, first off, when we speak of the ethics of restraint of downfalls, for instance, if a bodhisattva, for instance, has a lay person's vow, then he or she has the ethics of restraint of downfalls. So the vows and so forth fall into that category and keeps them, of course. And so if there is restraint, translator's note. Or if one takes the novice vows or the full ordination and so forth, this bodhisattva is engaging in the ethics of restraint of downfalls. This is the meaning of this first section. Or if anyone if he or she is holding the any of the individual liberation vows, then this becomes the ethics of restraint of downfalls, and the bodhisattva vows themselves. Vows themselves are the ethics of restraint of downfalls. So, in short.
Nyeshe dhombe tsiri, nyeshe sana negri kama isamarbe. Nyeshe dhombe tsiri, nyeshe de negri kama. Wate dhombe tsiri de nyeshe dhombe.
So when we break down in the Tibetan, Nishu Dumbi Tsutrim is the Tibetan, and Nishu refers to a bad karma, or downfall. And Tsutrim is the ethics, and the Dumbi is vow. So the ethics, and I changed vow to restraint because it can sometimes be used, the word can be restraint, and it makes more sense in English. I translated it literally, but Rinpoche wanted to go over each word literally. So what I said before is the literal translation.
How can they answer? Magawajo, Gawajo, Marva, Gawajo. Since Taji, Sanju Kubun to be said, Magajo, Tirin Sumbaina, they shall choose him to Tirin Ruja Marva. Sanju Kubun to be said, Magajo to Bombaina,
and Nibichu Suchupa Megawajo, Ale, Ale, Megachu, okay. They do. Megawajo,
Leso, Hakasan. What did you say? Sanju Sambi, Sanju Kubun to be said, Bombaina. Teaching children look at this. Jebun Dingi and Tabatu Chet Mombaina, Jebun Dingi should look at
this.
Hatta made it down to visit Mombaina, Chungu children. Kusanlo Dabandawa in Najin.
So, if one, for instance, is keeping the vows with the motivation or abstaining, I'm sorry, let me start that over. If one is abstaining from, for instance, the 10 non virtues, in engaging in the 10 virtues. If he or she is doing this for the sake of achieving complete Buddhahood, then this becomes the ethics of restraint or the virtue of a great being of great capacity or of the great scope, because the aim is to become a Buddha. So the reason for the restraint or the reason for the abandonment of these 10 non-virtues is to achieve Buddhahood. So the rest follows the same. If one's motivation is to achieve nirvana for him or herself alone, then this falls into the medium scope, or this, then he or she becomes a medium, being of medium capacity, because this abandonment of the 10 non-virtues will help him, he or she, to achieve his or her goal, which is nirvana for him or herself alone. Then lastly, if he or she is abandoning the 10 non-virtues in order to achieve rebirth into the higher realms, then this becomes abandonment of the 10 non-virtues, that a small capacity, being of small capacity, does or abandons. So we can see it's very similar to driving a car. Whatever direction one points it into is the direction, is where one will arrive. So the direction of the destination is very important along the path. If one steers one way, one will end up over there. If one steers, this is what Rinpoche says, if one steers the other way, one will end up over there.
So it's
and at the root of this is the mind.
What did you touch on to send me? You should be to do the Rajinzi Bombituti Tourist.
So, for the Bodhisattva, the root, the true thing that needs to be abandoned, the true ethics of restraint, the true downfall, is the self cherishing attitude. So, the Bodhisattva vows to abandon that attitude. So now we will go to the root text of the lamp for the path to enlightenment. I believe we're at 27. Please look at it.
That you should don't be shooting the word the Landrung is our date and waters, Landrung, the nursing to lose a cousin in younger than in younger.
Nishu Sadun. So in 27, everyone has the same thing. So verse 27.
That what the gay, you should don't be shooting the word the ten waters, nursing to Dani, the Sanatan, the Taduni, then as on the Shanjuta, Tujaba, the Majawo. Summer job at Jesus, did on the Bob Mosha. Sitting Domba Lagay, Sanji just Lavashas,
Nietzsche.
What the gay? Nisha don't be sitting there, what is, Marva?
Nishi Sadun Dan Saja,
Ambuka. Ah,
the Nicha, Nishu Sadun, Na Nishu Saje, Nishu Dumbi Tsuchun, Nge Tsampa Chun, the Tamche Laps.
Nase Tri Danyi Darwa.
The Nicha, Chiran La, Nge Tsampa Chiran, the Buke, Nicha La, Shiloka Ni, Tri Santana.
Nase Tri Danyi Darwa.
Sampa Jupa.
Ore.
Shiloka ni, Nicha and Nishu Dumbi Tsuchin. Okay. Gangi Sena, the Nge Tsawa, the Shiloka Shiloka. Then Kongtsu Tsawa, Shiloka Shiloka, the Le Lawadu. Okay, so when we go to the root text, and we try to find where in the root text Atisha goes over this ethics of restraint of downfalls, it's number 27 and 28. From this moment onwards, until I attain enlightenment, I shall not harbor harmful thoughts, anger, avarice or envy. I shall cultivate pure conduct, give up wrongdoing and desire, and with joy in the vow of discipline, train myself to follow the Buddhas.
Then the Sana, Sana Poma, don't the Jimba Janese to Maro, Sana. Then the Tadu Jalisimarbe,
Lassa.
What then the Ginu Mojabote, and then two tenants want to Sanji Kuboma to Jibato, Nepongi, Yabasalu things a marbe. What did you do at? What the good Rosy Loda?
So here it says, I shall not harbor harmful thoughts. So, so it's abandoning thoughts that can harm others. Because the harm, one cannot have its opposite if one has the desire to harm others. So if one has harmful thoughts and angers, then one cannot be of benefit to others. If one has greed, is avarice greed? Just anyone who knows, is avarice greed? It is?
For wealth.
Okay, well, the Tibetan says greed. Greed, if one is a very greedy person, then it would be impossible for he or she to engage in generosity, in the perfection of generosity. So if one is senadang,
trado
yuna, dene.
Trado yuna, dene jen, trado yuna, jen, jesu yuna, la soba jesu yuna.
Okay. So then if one has jealousy in the Tibetan, I guess jealousy, envy is covetous. I guess if one has jealousy, in the Tibetan it says jealousy. If one has jealousy, then it makes it impossible for he or she to rejoice in virtuous deeds that others have done. So here there are four types of afflictions that speak of being abandoned, and we can infer that it speaks of the abandonment also of the other 10 non-virtues and engagement of virtuous activities as well. So we see four afflictions here: harmful thoughts, anger, jealousy, and greed. We see four negativities, and we can just assume this also speaks of all other negativities. And this falls into the category of ethics of restraint of downfalls.
So, in
the Tibetan, it's a little different. It says, I shall cultivate pure conduct, give up wrongdoing and desire with the joy and the vow of discipline, train myself to follow the Buddhas. Here, pure conduct refers to celibacy. It refers to abstaining from intercourse. So in the Tibetan it says it, but it doesn't. So here it speaks of pure conduct of it means ordination basically, because an ordained person has a vow of celibacy. Translator's note, just to make it more clear. So pure conduct celibacy is referring to ordained, as it states before. So here it speaks of cultivating this type of conduct, and one can infer also it is talking, when it says give up wrongdoing, we're speaking of the 10 non-virtues. These are the 3 non-virtues of the body: killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. The 4 non-virtues of the speech, which are lying, gossip, harsh words, and what did I miss? Lying. Divisive speech. Lying, divisive speech, harsh words, and gossip are the 4 of the speech, and 3 of the mind are covetousness, harmful intent, and wrong view. So the Bodhisattva wishes to abandon all of these in order to achieve Buddhahood. So this is why it says, train myself to follow the Buddhas, because the Buddhas abandon those things in order to achieve basically their realization, which is Buddhahood.
Then the Shangju Samba Tuba Tubusel Sujiba Majimba Lamba Mazamba Shiba to know your Maris. Timele Sujiba Majimba Mazamba Shiba to know your Maris. Sul to Nepun
Nawa, Nye Jason. Nawa, don't
it? Nawa Sana.
Nawa.
Timele Junkosu, Yeneana.
Lesso.
Yeneana goes Sujo Chumaris.
Lesso. The Dun Shing you, Yene Nawa, don't agar.
Nawa Sitazita. Timele Jena, Timele Junle, and the Sujiba Dan. Mazamba Shiba to Kasugre,
Lesson, Galungi, Mamba.
Chun Sugi is an air, Chunga Susan, and the Logo Maris, Missy, your Maris, Missy. And Timegos. Pasin Tiba, Sutra and the Maribe. Pasin Tibi goes to Sanjus and Watuba Topazul, now you are this. Sanji Demba Dan, Sijan Gobachu Yena, Sujoba, now Sujan and Digris, Pentu Yena. Pentu yana mazamba shena digres ti pasin tibi kos no yores no. Bana saji ge treba karso gore kuju teben jinji jen juzin tsoma nga jaya marwa tsoma nga jaya nobel nga jin ro tene mana don ton jen se gen de ge tsoma nga jaya de se jala kan ku je gu san lu yoro
laso
teben jinji jen saji de shaju sen bares
laso
ku manga jaya se ba yina ku ju de mun yewa nyu gu je gres ku lin hin jen ne
Lesso. Okay, so I just want to always be clear, so I'm sorry that took a moment. So in the when we speak of these negativities, the non-virtues such as killing, sexual misconduct, and so forth, in the lesser vehicle tradition, a Hinayanist cannot ever engage in any of these activities. One cannot, engage in intercourse and so forth in the lesser vehicle tradition. There is an abandonment of all this. But in the perfection vehicle, Parshintepa, the perfection vehicle, it speaks of bodhisattvas with high realizations. And those bodhisattvas with high realizations are able to engage in what appears to be non-virtue, but is actually not. And they're doing it for the greater good because of their realizations. There is a recognition from their side because of their realization that in some way it will benefit all sentient beings to engage in this sexual misconduct or engage in killing and so forth. And there is an example of this given in the previous life stories of the Buddha when he was a riverboat captain, and there were 500 people on the boat. And through his clairvoyance, he realized that there was one bad seed, one bad person on the boat who was going to kill everyone and then steal all of their belongings. It was basically going to take the ship over and, so that he could become wealthy and take all the belongings. So Buddha, in his previous life, realized that an immense, all of these people would be killed, and also the person would create the karma of killing if he had killed all of those people. So Buddha, in his previous life, out of compassion and realization, killed this one person who was going to kill the rest of the people on the boat. And for a lesser vehicle practitioner, this would appear to be non-virtue. But in the perfection vehicle for a highly realized bodhisattva, as he was, it was actually very beneficial for him on the path and allowed him to achieve a large amount of virtue very quickly just from this one act because of the motivation behind it and because of his level of realization. Okay, so, and then we can even see in the tantric tradition, in the tantric vows, that it's stated that if one has these realizations and abilities and so forth, and does not kill for the sake of others, does not commit the act of killing, then the tantric vow is actually broken. So in the tantric lineage, we can see this very extreme case where one actually has a downfall by not committing the killing because he or she has the realizations and the abilities to recognize that it will in some way help sentient beings and propagate the Dharma.
Pajin tiba den dinzeres ha tores odin de kazugure kutuba no to to ndul de ne su su jeba to no no yuzeres no su jeba ina neba yuzo ma mazo ma shena neba meba neba yuzo ma resin na neger kama
So in the various lesser vehicle tradition the thinking is very small. In the perfection vehicle, in the perfection vehicle, we have a medium kind of level of thinking, and in the tantric vehicle, it's the greatest kind of highest level of thinking, or highest, most esoteric kind of way of thinking. So we can see that in these various vehicles, the actual deeds themselves are looked at differently. In the tantric vehicle or the perfection vehicle, if one were to engage in killing or sexual misconduct with the correct motivation, then it would actually not be considered a downfall. So and it's similar to this. If there is a very small fire, one can very easily blow it. So the wind extinguishes the fire. But if there is a very large fire, very large forest fire, or something of that nature, then the wind actually acts as fuel and combines with the fire and so forth and makes it greater. So this is very similar to utilizing delusions on the path. If one, for instance, on the Hinayana, in the Hinayana tradition or lesser vehicle tradition, were to engage in this activity, sexual misconduct or killing, it'd be very similar to the fire because the thinking is so small. The fire being able to be blown out very easily. The lesser vehicle practitioner engages in these things and then it causes a major problem. But for being in the perfection vehicle, it's very similar to the wind and the larger fire, the wind actually helping to fuel it, to make it greater. So the realization is actually strengthened by the delusion in the perfection vehicle. So in the tantric tradition, love and compassion are actually enhanced or strengthened by these seemingly negative actions. So the killing and the sexual misconduct and so forth, actually in the tantric vehicle strengthen the love and compassion. So it's also written as follows. It's written utilizing the three poisons as path, utilizing attachment for path, utilizing aversion or hatred for path, utilizing delusion or ignorance for path. So it's only in the tantric tradition that all three of these negative poisons are utilized, are used in order to strengthen realization. So here, when it says, I shall cultivate pure conduct, we've recognized that that speaks of ordination or celibacy, and give up wrongdoing and desire, and with the joy in the vow of discipline, train myself to follow the Buddhas. So here we can infer the 10 non-virtues as well. We speak of non-virtue, there are levels of non-virtue. And any of the 10 non-virtues, each have three levels. If one commits the greatest level of non-virtue, then this produces rebirth into the hell realms. If one commits a medium level of non-virtue, then this produces rebirth into the hungry ghost realms. And if one commits a small level of non-virtue, then this produces rebirth into the animal realms. We can see that karma or action always has potential or potency. And this is what the various levels of action or karma produce. So that when we speak of wrongdoing and so forth and what others need to abandon, there are some people who have a stronger problem with attachment, and some people who have a stronger problem with aversion, some people who have a stronger problem with delusion. We can see these represented in the wheel of cyclic existence. Right at the center of the wheel of cyclic existence, we see a pig, a rooster, and a snake. And they all seem to be chasing each other and attached to each other. And it's because the one is attached, and then anger follows, and the delusion is there, and then delusion creates attachment, and so forth. So this is the reason that these afflictions are represented in the Wheel of Cyclic Existence as the three poisons, because they will produce negativities. And each being is a little bit different. He or she has maybe a little bit a different kind of problem or a different level of problem relative to the three poisons. So various teachings were given as opponents to these negativities, but any negativity needs to be abandoned. So wrongdoing covers all of them. So, and with the last, and with that joy in the vow of discipline, so finding joy in these actual, this ethical behavior, train myself to follow the Buddhas. So train in what the Buddhas did in order to achieve their Buddhahood. So this is the meaning behind this. So the reason for the ethics of restraint of downfalls is in order to train as the Buddhas did. So this is the meaning of this. Then Nishu Sa Gu Semchen Dun Jigitsuchim. Semchen Dun Jigitsuchim.
Semchen Dun Jigitsuchim Rwa.
Nishu Sa Gu. Then Nye Becha. Okay. So, when we go to 29, it says, I shall not be eager to reach enlightenment in the quickest way, but shall stay behind till the very end for the sake of a single being. So here, this is the ethics of engaging in the welfare of all sentient beings. So that is the second kind of ethics we spoke of.
Sanji Gumutu and the 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 Sanji 다니 뉴 유튜브에 장주 도바 모르지. 세전 찍기 주인의 시민 메타 내바샤스. 세전 찍기 된다래. 세전 찍기 된다. 된시야기 체도 안베 깨바 타메바. 내 그거 주나야. 내는 세전 그 된시야기 이냐바. 그러나 가정부 계시는 게 되네. 안내 나 세전 단지 그 돈도 니와를 지워 주스 몰라모 붙다네. 로진도 뜻은 잡은 사람들.
Okay. So this here we'll go over this again. I shall not be eager to reach enlightenment in the quickest way, but shall stay behind till the very end for the sake of a single being. So here this is a desire or a wish to fulfill the needs of others, or to fulfill the needs of other sentient beings, and working for the welfare of them. But the practitioner recognizes that he or she cannot truly fulfill the needs of sentient beings because of not having all of the abilities of a fully enlightened being, and cannot truly help them. So then he or she knows that it's necessary to become a Buddha in order to fulfill all the needs of others. If he or she does not become a Buddha, then it's impossible to do that. So the aim is to become a Buddha for that reason. And it would be very difficult for a practitioner to think that he or she is going to achieve Buddhahood in a month or in a year or have it happen very quickly. It takes a very long time. We can see in the case of Buddha Shakyamuni, who spent three countless eons in order to achieve the state that he did, in order to achieve full, complete enlightenment. So we need to understand that it's necessary to spend a lot of time in order to achieve this goal. So we need to be able to say that I will spend countless eons if it is necessary to achieve my final goal. So it's basically saying that I will have the effort if it's necessary, and that's the big, that's important part. If it's necessary traverse this path for traverse this path for countless eons, if that is what I must do in order to achieve Buddhahood. So here, that is the another meaning behind this. I shall not be eager to reach. This means practicing and being patient enough to be able to traverse the path, because it does take a while to do so. And it's making these kind of aspirations. And by having this other cherishing attitude, that one can then quickly traverse the path and actually achieve his or her own aims in the process. We can see the story of the Kadampa spiritual friend, or the Kadampa master, who was meditating and making aspirational prayers every day of his life to be reborn in hell for the welfare of and the sake of all sentient beings. And right before he died, there was he recognized that it was not going to be born into the lower realms, and he was actually going to be born into the purer, higher realms of the gods. This is because of the aspirational prayers that he continuously made for others. So the result of being born into this higher realm was because of his motivation. And he could not be born, even though he prayed to do so, into the lower realms, because the motivation was so positive.
What the Sijian do in the Tudin Laws as the Sanglo or the Niji Sanju Sembitan, the Sanglo Jan the Sijian Rishan, Namebe, Mana Kabajas with Nanguijan, Hijiman Sanju Sembi, Sundry Passion to us, and then Dabundua.
So it's stating that I will engage in effort as long as it takes. I will engage in effort for countless eons if it is necessary, in order to achieve the final goal of enlightenment. If it is in order for just one single being, I will stay if it is necessary and if it will be beneficial for them.
That's what you do to do. Somebody what you do to do that. tene der gwa jude ge jude der cheme sa ji me je be shin da na ba jang wa sha min ne zong wa she ba da shu ju da du na ba ne s shu ju da na ba ne wa de ge gwa jude ge jude den du wa
cheme okay
cheme sa ji me je be shin da na ba jang wa sha s dis one
dixon ngk lagwe Tanda.
So
now we're at, of course, number 30. So number 30 says, I shall purify limitless, inconceivable lands and remain in the 10 directions for all those who call my name. So the last, the ethics of gathering virtue, the root of this is the six perfections. The perfection of generosity, the perfections of ethical behavior, the perfection of patience, the perfection of, the perfection of generosity, the perfection of ethical behavior, the perfection of patience, the perfection of effort or perseverance, the perfection of concentration, and the perfection of wisdom. The ethics of gathering virtue really refers to, or the root of it is the six perfections.
Shinda naba jangwa jas, shinda naba jangwa jas, ta nga sun ruwa ritu desa ge lomba dang, shin jen dang, wa tusuk nga lo, tolul ma sun traba yuwar, jun yuwar is, traba yuwar is, tolul traba chu jina ta nga 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 su ruwa ritu desa ge nga tusuk nga lo, jun yuwar is, tabi shin ma is, madaba is, dunge yuwar is, nyumu yuwar is, le,
Okay. So I shall purify inconceivable lands. So here, the reference is to the lands not being pure or being contaminated. So here, it's referring to the six realms of cyclic existence. And purifying them, very similar to cleaning a stain out of a cloth. Like the cloth can get stained and it needs to be cleaned or purified. All of the beings in the six realms of cyclic existence are sullied, are not pure. Because the six realms are not pure, there is suffering and so forth. So the object is to try to purify these six realms, so that those realms no longer have the suffering. So this is why that reference is made, because of the contamination of the realms, because of their lack of purity. We can see that all of the six realms are different from a pure land. So we're wishing for and praying to purify all of these six realms and convert them or change them into pure lands. So, the six realms of cyclic existence are dirty, in a sense. They're impure. What are they sullied by? They are sullied by attachment and sullied by aversion, sullied by misdeeds and delusion and so forth. So these six realms of cyclic existence are sullied by or dirtied by these afflictions and delusion. So it's the wisdom realizing selflessness that acts as a combatant to these negativities. And slowly one can eradicate these negativities, and once the negativities are eradicated, the afflictions and so forth, through the wisdom realizing selflessness, then the realms themselves, the realm itself becomes more and more pure for that sentient being. That sentient being's samsara, or that sentient being's cyclic existence, because each one's cyclic existence is individual. I just want to clarify why I translated it like that. That being's cyclic existence is dirtied. When he or she has the wisdom realizing selflessness and engages in activities, then slowly these are lessened. Then the karma and the afflictions which they produce are lessened, and the suffering itself is lessened. So the environment around the being is no longer a suffering environment, becomes an uncontaminated, pure environment, the same as a pure land. So this is the conversion that we are praying to or hoping to facilitate. Okay, so it's necessary to achieve the final goal of purity of cyclic existence, or the purification of cyclic existence, or conversion of cyclic existence to a pure land, or into Buddhahood, for one to practice both method and wisdom. So it's necessary for one to have wisdom, which is the wisdom realizing emptiness, and then the method, which is the other five perfections of the six perfections. So the sixth perfection is the wisdom, and the other five perfections of generosity, ethics, patience, effort, and concentration fall into the category of method. So these five perfections are method. The sixth perfection of wisdom is wisdom. It's necessary to have both method and wisdom in order to achieve Buddhahood. So by engaging in meditation or familiarization with the mind that aspires to enlightenment again and again, and coupling that meditation with the wisdom realizing emptiness and the wisdom realizing the nature of reality, our contaminated body, speech, and mind can be converted then into a pure body, speech, and mind of a Buddha, or a fully realized being who has the 32 major marks and the 80 minor marks, the 112 marks of a fully enlightened being. So our contaminated environment and our body, speech, and mind can be then converted into purity through familiarization with the practices of method and wisdom.
Tapana Saji me tuba inaya, Saji me anjun tuba inaya, Dene Jendal Penturis, Saji Migutuna Penturis, and then Saji Hill Tabba ina Penturva, Denaji, and the Mahobanang, Nam Migutuada, and then Anjugu Tuba da, Yila Tabba Tanji, and the Sijan Tangela Pembiji to Shujuta Nebasha.
The Tsik Sum Shingmei. So here it, I shall purify conceivable lands and remain in the ten directions for all those who call my name. So here this refers to remaining once one becomes fully enlightened in the ten directions in order to be of aid to all sentient beings. Because if it benefits a sentient being to be able to see a Buddha. It benefits a sentient being to be able to hear the words of a Buddha. It benefits a sentient being to be able to think about the meaning of what has been taught by the Buddha. So it's for this reason that the aspirational prayer is made to abide in all of the ten directions. So that basically means everywhere a being could be. So to abide there, abide anywhere a being could be, in order to help relieve them from their suffering. So to be available for them, for all those who call my name. So here where it says, and remain in the ten directions for all those who call my name, then the gewa chudu. Let me just see which part exactly. I just want to make sure I'm not exactly clear. Rimache. The shuju dadu.
No, but ne.
The gewa chudu.
Gewa chudu in the chasan re chasan.
Chasan. Tamche. Shuloka tamche. Okay. Okay, thank you. So this whole stanza refers to the section on gathering virtue, or the ethics of gathering virtue. So, and here, and remain in the ten directions for all those who call my name, this is speaking of practicing the six perfections. So number 30, implicitly speaks of the six perfections.
What the children son jin sa son ta jiba don do adre. Son bo de don da ma du na ta da ge le da nga ge le do yin chi den da.
Da ge lu da nga ge le. Dam che du. Ta
je don na ta bar che yi ji le jan ta ja de me ge le na ma ja us. Ta ni jo don bi ju din.
Then Garishene this sum nyamdu. The Semchen Dunji Gitsuchim Kabiyare, the Sumjusun.
That Semchen Dunji, the Jimba, the Sujin Zungaro, Lunga, Yusun, the Mount Santa, Mabatin.
Okay.
Semchen Dunji Santa, Lunga, Yusun, the Santa. Go what you do, Lunga, Yusun, the Mount, you drive me.
So, number 31, I shall purify all my bodily and my verbal forms of activity, my mental activities too. I shall purify and do nothing that is non-virtuous. This refers to that fourth category, which is the combination of all three of these. So I shall purify my bodily, my verbal forms and mental activities. This could refer to the 10 non-virtues, the 3 non-virtues of killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct of the body, the 4 non-virtues of lying, divisive speech, gossip, and harsh words of the speech, the 3 negativities of the mind of harmful intent, covetousness, and wrong view. So here it could refer to that and refer to the ethics of restraint. And here it speaks of the mental activities and purification. Mental activities, once purified, will wish to engage in the welfare of all sentient beings. So that is why it encompasses that as well. And by doing these activities, one is gathering virtue. So one is accumulating virtue or engaging in the ethics of gathering virtue. So all 3 of these ethics are combined into number 31, and that is the 4th category, which is a combination of the previous 3. So now we've closed the section on the actual engaged bodhicitta. So we've gone over aspiring bodhicitta, and now we've gone over the section on engaged bodhicitta.
Again, quote in the Lasal Jagi Karzure, Kalikai Dusul, Kumisi Tavares, Gela Rimba, Debunga Tavagan, Jun, join the covers, Jagi, Emma. Join the Kadil, let the Negela Rimba, Gelacho Gumaris,
Lesser,
Rubichi, the Chukuma Jun Divoris,
Lesser,
and the Kalasama good Jagi, and the Kalasama Gugan to the Martish was lovers. And the game deal is your Kalama the Karim was Kalagum as good. Kalamaguna than the Jagos are missing his channel, Kushiji did by this. Look, Mazu Domino, you could be Chijanjin de Hundiagos.
So there's a story of Genlam Rinpa, who was a very realized adept, who stayed in Drepung during the days of Tibet and Lhasa and so forth. And he was highly realized, and when the Chinese came, they jailed him. But something very peculiar was going on because he didn't need to eat. He had a certain level of concentration where he didn't need to eat food. He took 1 pill a day, and this satisfied all of his needs as far as intake of food because of his realizations and so forth. So the Chinese government actually were thrown off by this and said, well, you know, if this gentleman can do this, then he doesn't need to stay in jail. We'll release him because we don't have to feed him. He doesn't eat, he doesn't do anything. So out of a slight bit of possibly fear and so forth, the Chinese government released him and he was able to go back to Drepung where he finished his life. So he was able to just stay there without problem. He was a great scholar. And then he was able to actually even give a teaching, and he gave a teaching to 10,000 students on the great exposition or a great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment in Drepung. He was able to stay very long and give teachings. And when I went to Tibet, I saw him. Genlam Rinpa. Drop a low song.
Mara.
Genlam Rinpa, shit.
She's
drone song. Alay. So Gyatlan Rinpa has passed away, but it's possible that there's now a tulku, or a reincarnation, recognized boy of Gyatlan Rinpa. There is one. So he was going to go to India, possibly, to take the novice monk's vow. So this is a very good text, because the Lamrim Chemo, Great Treatise on the Stages of the Path to Enlightenment, is so big. And this is just a small amount that is very palatable, or very, you can understand it very easily. And he was able to extract the essence and write this text. So maybe that's enough. No? That's what Rinpoche said. That's enough, no? So we're done with Mahayana mind generation, or bodhicitta. So we're going to move on later to the six perfections. Method and wisdom and so forth. Okay, so we'll do all the concluding prayers in Tibetan. And maybe it's already 10 of 12, so let's, unless there's burning desires for questions, maybe we'll cut that for today. Do the offering at the end and then just call it an evening or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it should be concluding mandala offering. I'm sorry, I just broke my own rule. Tibetan. Zayim Yin Yu. Dajen ge wei tsa wa de kun jang sambo chu chi ra tu ngo wa ji. I apologize to people, we didn't do the second verse in the Tibetan. We did the whole mandala offering, which is okay. We just didn't do the second verse because I'm so used to doing it without it that I forgot it. I'm sorry. Ngam ri ra we ngo we ji nya.
Lord, you would ye jong amor.
se gambe gozun donga daruzin jo zon ju du zam taruzin ye je gombo nyunrin yamnin yo
go dan dil de da na chu khane yo ro wa yen den ji ju mal de da yen den ji ju mal de ka dul de da sku dul o den yin chi den da rani si zu lo wa ji ji du ma ju o den ne san chu gsen de o de ka tu res ku dul yin chi ang go de pre bu
Okay, then Pirkei got it.
Kudzulla, kudzul. Rani sizu longwa chiji to manju duwa kunji tenda wa tunen duwa dhiyu kuchi shanchu senchun jomba shinji loo chi. Senchang chiji tsuti nason la kumbha menna shanchu mundu ba. Leba tunen jasi tongba la. Chomba dhabi loo ba shin. Tepa chimi lan loo shangba to wa tepa tu res. Inchi ten, inchi.
So in the source of all my good, or the foundation of all good qualities, we can see the section that we just went over, where it says that bless me to see clearly that the wish itself is not enough, for if I am not trained in the three moralities, I cannot become a Buddha. Grant me then a fierce resolve to master the Bodhisattva vows. And before that it says, I have slipped and fallen into the sea of the suffering life. Bless me to see that every living being, everyone, my own mother, has fallen into. Grant me then to practice the wish for enlightenment, to take on myself the task of freeing them all.
What the Rani Sisu Longa Chichin to Manju Dua Kunja Tendawa, Tonan Dua Dri Kuchi Shanju Sanju Jumba Shinjilus, and said on Jose Gawa Tele Wunduas, and then Shanju to the Sanji to the Wate, Yuan Jujum and the Katu Legores. Rani Sisu Longa on the Susu, Kualuki, and Jungle Sambal Santa, Susu Kualuki Dungeling Abanjua Tejin to, and the Sijang Galo Dungang Nodiwars, Ninjigunya, and Shambagunya, Shanju Sanguya. Tonan Rodri Kuchi, Shanchu Sanjun Jumba Shinji Luz, what the Shanchu Sand Mudwe?
The Inchike, the Semchen Tanche Nge Ama.
What the Logre?
The Kabi, the Pike Yerbe.
Rani Sizu Longachi, Majin Dua Kujan,
what the Major
Ma, Majin Dua Kujan, Tendawa, Tonan Rodri Kuchi, Shanchu Sanjun Jumba Shinji Luz, and Satan Jusen, Gender Manga Dujukun and Sanchiwa, Dajan Yabaji Kusen Tenzu Kudu, Kuzul Tel Logre.
Okay, so here I have slipped and fallen into the sea of this suffering life. This is the recognition of the fact that the practitioner, his or herself, is in cyclic existence. So that recognition then is converted into love and compassion for others and is converted into the mind that aspires to enlightenment and a wish to free others. So here it says, I have slipped and fallen into the sea of this suffering life. This is the recognition. Bless me to see clearly that every living being, everyone, my own mother, has fallen in too. So here, realizing that they are in the same predicament as I am, then grant me then to practice the wish for enlightenment, to take on myself the task of freeing them all, etc. And then it goes on to speak of, you know, training in the moralities and mastering the bodhisattva vows. So here we can see the aspiring bodhicitta and the engaged bodhicitta explained in these two stanzas in the foundation of all good qualities by Lama Tsongkhapa, or the source of all my good, as we call it here. So we can take the Atisha's Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment and the great treatise on the stages of the Path to Enlightenment and this text, the foundation of all good qualities, source of all my good, and we can put them together to try to ascertain the full meaning of them. So now a meaning from the Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment we can find in Lama Tsongkhapa's commentary in the Source of All My Good. So one can start out with a smaller text, such as the Source of All My Good, then move on to the abbreviated stages of the path, Lam Rim Dudun, abbreviated stages of the graduated path, I believe it's called. Then you can move on to the medium Lam Rim, and then maybe read the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment, and then maybe some of the perfection vehicle actual sutric texts and the larger commentaries and root texts and so forth. So there's just so much, there's a vast amount of dialectical information contained within these texts, whether it be implicitly or explicitly, implicitly in the smallest form and explicitly in the larger volumes. All of the teachings of, or the pronouncements of, the great Indian pandits such as Nagarjuna, Chandrakirti, Aryadeva, and so forth, all of their pronouncements or their understandings can be found contained within this text. So this is a very small amount we just read, but the meaning is so great, is it not?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, okay, yeah, yeah.